Well, what an honor to be presenting with my esteemed colleagues from Massachusetts and to meet a new colleague sharing such powerful stories of work going on that's collaborative and building on everything that's strong and good in the community health worker model. I am coming at the podium today with a slightly different hat than I often wear, which is many of the projects that Nell mentioned, collaborating, for example, on the Research Agenda project with the director Carl Rush, or with the National Education Collaborative with many colleagues in the room, including Don Prue and others. I've had an opportunity to work at the national level and look at the community health worker issues that face us in that broad context, looking for the common core, even back in 94 to 98 when I worked as the director of the National Community Health Advisor Study. I don't know if Noelle Wiggins is with us, who worked on the core roles and competency definitions in that study that were then adopted, for example, in the state of Texas, where I now live and work as a part of our credentialing system. So from that very broad hat, I came to El Paso from Tucson in 2005, and my esteemed colleague, Dr. Hector Balcazar, approached me from the neighboring institution, the University of Texas, regional campus of the University of Texas Houston School of Public Health, where he's the dean and regional dean. And he said, would you like to get involved in a collaborative project related to working directly in the lower valley of El Paso, where I newly was living and very excited to learn about, and come into a research intervention project? And we developed this proposal, and my then dean said, well, we're just gonna write this proposal with these guys next door, because we wanna, you know, have a spirit of collaboration. And, you know, lo and behold, the National Institutes of Health funded the project in 2005, and we have been working together ever since with many community partners in a community-based participatory research funded project. Today, I'm sharing some current lessons learned and some current steps we're taking in that project, which is focusing now finally on a policy aim, looking at integration of community health workers in both our local area, El Paso, and in the state level, is in terms of how we as a project in the far corner of the state of Texas in El Paso can participate in state level policy change related to community health worker integration and development. No financial disclosures or other relationships to disclose. So I want to talk a little bit about what the goals and aims of the HEART project are and give you an overview of that project and talk about the roles of the community health workers in our project, and then share some findings, though very discreet in nature, I think very interesting, about the awareness based on a random digit telephone survey we did in the lower valley of El Paso, and awareness of the community health worker promotora model in a community where that model has been well established for many years. Colleague Lorenz Hernandez is here, who's a promotora from El Paso, knows this is a strong and vibrant cradle of promotoria in our country of community health work. And yet, you'll see in these in this phone survey, we found some things out that confirm that maybe community health workers are not as widely known as we would like. Then I want to talk about this newly evolving policy aim that we're a part of, and talk about our work to support workforce development in Texas and in El Paso. As I mentioned, we're a multi-year community-based participatory research project and funded by the National Institutes of Health Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities. We were one of 25 projects funded in 2005 to work with a community-based participatory research design, and we were one of the 25 that quite boldly decided that though we knew it would be hard to do, that we would look at a randomized controlled trial in our pilot phase from 2005 to 2008 and try to contribute to this ongoing discussion of the great need for evidence in the community health worker field to somehow turn that policy corner and make change. And we learned many lessons in conducting that randomized controlled trial and have some limited conclusions that we've put into the literature and other papers reported on. But to be honest, you know, had many lessons learned in the challenges and the realities of trying to conduct such a kind of intervention design with a promotora model. The HEART project is the Health Education Awareness Research Team, named by our Community Health Advisory Council in Phase 1, brought together many community partners and agencies, promotoras and community health workers working in our city, in a leadership council to help us in the early phase design our to be a four-month intervention project, working with the Salud para su Corazón curriculum that Dr. Balcazar has worked with NHLBI and Matilda Alvarado, that was a curriculum that we wanted to test in our intervention. And it was a very interesting process, and this is where I can come to one lesson learned from working with a randomized controlled trial design. We had, of course, to design many things about that intervention and research study design, and meanwhile there we were trying to be a CBPR project asking for input, and all the while we would say, but we really can't do that because you know we can't really have contact, and you can't have the promotor go out and make the, you know, knock on the door and then, you know, have that group not meet promotoras because they'll have met a promotora, and all the things that were a part of trying to create a randomized controlled trial and have community input at the same time. You know, many, many lessons learned, and we're working on a paper to share those lessons learned. And again, not the focus here, but I want to give you some sense of that phase one experience that we knocked on almost 5,000 doors to recruit less than 500 people who then participated in our intervention, which was led in a clinic-based setting, which is the way that the Salud para su Corazón has been delivered effectively with community groups in a community health center setting. And they come in with the promotoras and study different cardiovascular health lessons and cook together and you know learn together about many things. But in this intervention, we had a group that was not exposed to that design and another group that was. Phase two, we broadened to an ecological model, looking more at how do we have community health workers in community, and our design is shifted to a pre-post cohort design where we are looking at a pre-test, an immediate post-test, and also a follow-up test. And we'll have several cohorts go through. We've had one just complete. We have no data processed on that yet, but almost 100 community members in the Lower Valley went through the intervention, and it is a much broader intervention, which I'll share in a few minutes. Oops, I think I went too far, didn't I? So again, in phase one, we had a community health advisor leadership or community health advisory council, as we called it in phase one, a promotora intervention design tailoring forum, which is a very exciting event as a part of that early phase. That was one way we could get community voice into the project. We had promotora programs, and I use that very consciously in our community. That is a term that still has great merit, but we also recognize the importance of using the term community health worker. So if I go back and forth, you'll indulge me, I hope. And the promotora programs came in from the city and presented to us what they thought were the most effective things they did in their promotora programs to reach communities to make a difference. So we did work to tailor our actual intervention with the Salud para su Corazón based on that input from the promotora forum. And we also spent significant time trying to explain what this randomized controlled trial was, how it worked, what it meant, and tried to bring community into understanding this whole process we were engaging in our pilot phase. We did a community needs and assets assessment. We carried out the controlled trial, and then we reviewed outcomes with our Community Health Advisory Council and solicited continued support from NIH, which we were lucky to receive, and made that decision not to go on and continue with that randomized controlled trial approach. Phase two, we have the community health workers now serving in a different setting, and they promote participation of the community in various wellness activities, including physical fitness activities, referred to or led by the community health workers in the project. There are three full-time health workers in the project who are, you know, have benefits and are employees at the YWCA in our community, and they are acting as Many of us think of promotoras as kind of that gateway in a clinical setting. In this context, they are at the Y offering as that doorway to the physical fitness services of the Y, but also they are in the intake interview with the participants, providing an orientation to a tremendous schedule of activities. Sherry Weiss, who's with us, is our curriculum coordinator for the project and has put together, under the Mi Corazón, Mi Comunidad, family of programs, a curriculum that addresses these four arenas: lifestyle nutrition programs and lifestyle fitness program, which is very much geared at individual behavior change, you know, one-on-one participation. Then we have environmental nutrition programs, like moving towards kind of community kitchen models, and environmental fitness program, right? We have bailes in the park on Saturdays, and people are welcome to come join in the intervention and bring family. And so we have these four components. Our aims in phase two, of course, are to look at the health of individuals who are participants in the intervention, which I mentioned we've had our first cohort go through, and we'll have three, at least more, potentially a fourth in the next several years. Increase awareness and utilization of these fitness opportunities and nutrition programs. There are things like grocery store tours and all the things that are often earmarks of very strong and vibrant community health worker programs. And we have, now that we have that intervention underway, which was a great project and endeavor, brought many partners together at the table and many direct staff and participants in the intervention, we feel we can move on to some of the other domains. We're beginning to look at the stakeholder and agency domain. The YWCA has actually joined the partnership with us from the Lower Valley because they were having sustainability issues. They felt that nobody was coming in their door, and they were concerned they would have to close their services. And now they are actually having to hire new staff, and we think we have been a contributor to that and working on documenting that as fully as possible. But the Y has really seen a growth, and we had a pilot intervention and then this first cohort. And so we recognize that, at least for the YWCA, that the community health worker probably, we hope, is there to stay. The parks and recreational system has been a part of the collaboration as well, and a lot of our programs are then directed over to the public services of the city. And so as well, the parks are beginning to take a new look, where they were not interested, frankly, and being at the table in a very big way when we first approached them. Now there, I think, is a growing interest in how this model is changing people's ability to access the services offered by parks and recs in terms of some of the programs that people were not making use of that really do promote fitness and wellness. And I will just, as a sort of an earmark of one of the things that would let you know they weren't interested, when we were first funded, the promotora's time was to be divided between the Y and the parks, and they basically, you know, told us, we don't want them, we don't know what to do with them, and they were scared, as many agencies are, to take on a new commitment to employed staff. But they were in the grant as the employer, and as soon as we were funded, we had to make a transition over to the Y. So it's wonderful to see, and we will continue to work on growing their interest in the community health workers as a part of their team. And now finally, we've gone through a pilot phase, which was, if you can imagine, knocking on 5,000 doors, not a small effort. You know, it was all-encompassing endeavor to lead that project. Now in our new, from 2008 forward, intervention, five more years of this cohort study, we finally got that launched, and we can turn to what remarkably and wonderfully was a stated aim of integration of community health workers as a part of the HEART project. NIH, you know, acknowledged that that should be an aim within our endeavors, and so we're working now to collaboratively define and promote a policy agenda to integrate community health workers in El Paso and in Texas. And of course, we're not alone in that endeavor. We're beginning to work with many partners that are there and to strengthen those that we know need to be a part of that discussion. The community health worker local networks of El Paso, predominantly right now, as a starting point. We want to create and share a dissemination plan to share the study's findings as well, related to the changes we hope will occur in the Lower Valley to sustain a community wellness approach, and that will be a separate policy endeavor, because our current Community Health Advisory Leadership Council clearly has a great deal of interest in that policy agenda as well, how to make a healthier community, such as many of the themes of the conference here around prevention and wellness. It's certainly not a policy aim of the project, but was not a stated aim. I just wanted to share from the viewpoint of our community health workers currently in the project, these are their roles as they define them. They certainly see themselves as offering information about the HEART project, the YWCAA and its services, and the other partner programs that are part of the Mi Corazón, Mi Comunidad curriculum. Another stated role they see is they must lead by example, and it's amazing to watch as they work in the Y and the kinds of things they're taking on, the walks in the parks and so forth that they lead, how engaged they are. They want to inspire other individuals to become community health workers, and of course they want to impact health and the economy. As a part of their goal, they really feel they're there to strengthen the Lower Valley and act as a resource by referring individuals to other services. And it's a nice, I think, opportunity not to see themselves, as many community health workers I know are part of referring to the many agencies. They become a resource for the whole community and not just the agency where they're based. And they're working to build that trust and credibility between the community and the organization, so opening the doors of the Y wider. Learning more about what our community health workers know. Well, we undertook as a part of our research design, we wanted to look at awareness of parks, physical fitness, habits and so forth of the community where the intervention was to be held. And so we did a random digit phone survey of the zip code where we are targeting and then a neighboring zip code. And as a part of that, we designed a short number of questions specifically related to awareness of the community health worker promotora model. And we, in the phone survey, about half of the 436 are part of the target community and half are not. But right now we have the data to look at the whole cohort. We will again do the phone survey at the end of the intervention, and then we'll be looking at the two groups. But at the moment we are looking at the full cohort. And in terms of, and this is, I would say, a highly saturated area. There's probably no place, Verdad, Lorenza, in the country where there's been a longer history of community health workers. And we know that this is a model that's a part of the El Paso community. And yet, only 20% of the people in the phone survey, with a description given of what a promotora is, and we use the community health worker section definition and some other roles and competencies, or roles identified in the National Community Health Advisor study to describe a community health worker, 20% had heard of a community health worker, 5% in the household had ever been contacted by one, and a similar number had been referred to by a provider. So, confirming, I think, the sense that this is not a well-known model. Then we had some questions related to, questions related to perceptions about community health workers, and we confirmed that there was an interest and understanding that the community health worker, as described, could be important in terms of usefulness, that they would be appropriate in clinical settings, and that community-based organizations, they could also provide an important link. So we're affirming some interest in seeing that model grow. As a part of our policy work and beginning to now enter into this phase of the project, we wanted to begin dialogue with both employers and community health workers in the community about what they think are the priority areas to work on in promoting the community health worker workforce. And though these lists are not new, these are the specific things, new to me, some of the issues are very familiar. These are the specific kinds of things that came from our employers. They wanted to see community health workers more integrated in the medical system, look at ways of identifying the value of community health workers, particularly in terms of cost analysis. They recognize the need to market and educate employers about community health workers, and they felt that it would be helpful if we could develop a portrait of community health workers and what kind of resources are available in our community, generate career development resources, and in general, create an advocacy campaign. And what was interesting to me, we invited a range of employers to attend this meeting, was the tremendous interest in the community health worker model. For example, there was a hospice agency at the table, which really surprised me. And what I have to say, and I see Noelle Wiggins, nodding in the back, I was really a skeptic. When we produced the National Community Health Advisor Study, Nell Brownstein, a part of it as well, from 94 to 98, we noticed that, we did the research, but we turned the recommendations from the report over to the majority Community Health Worker Advisory Council. And I remember Yvonne Lacey looking at me and saying, you will recommend credentialing. And I said, but Yvonne, I don't think the data really supports that. That will make the difference. You will recommend credentialing. And she was a very strong and powerful community health worker voice, once a chair of this section or SPIG at the time. And clearly, the community health workers in the room felt that was an important step to make. And so that is what the study recommended back in 98 when it was released. And I, you know, in my quiet way felt, well, I'm not sure we've recommended the right thing. And even Yvonne turned to me some years later and said, I'm not sure we recommended the right thing. But I have to say, sitting in both the series of focus groups with employers and community health workers, that Texas, which has institutionalized credentialing some years back, there was a certain interest from employers and a certain confidence from community health workers that I have to say I can at least make some connection to that legitimacy given by the state through the credentialing process. As flawed as that process may be, that there was something I really noticed that I did not expect to see. So I apologize, Noelle, in case that's not where you've come to in Oregon. But I must say that the employers, again, there were not maybe startlingly new recommendations, but important for us to look at in terms of the local work we'll do. Then we had community health worker workshops in Spanish related to what were the interests. Actually, they end up being bilingual in some case. Says that it was really easier in English for Promotora members as well. But we talked about the same question, what are the key actions we can take? And they really were interested in research results. They were interested in collaborating with agencies with common interest, vertical and horizontal collaboration with partners, and they really wanted to see us market the concept of community health workers and really help employers particularly understand who they are and what they can bring. We talked about results from this telephone survey with our promotores, and I just wanted to share some of the findings as they sort of tried to ponder how little their role was understood. They talked about it's important how people identify us. When they introduce me as a nutritionist, I make sure they know I'm a community health worker. Often they said they explain who they are and what they do rather than what they are as a professional, as a community health worker. And we've begun to talk about the importance of introducing themselves as a community health worker or promotora. And so another promotora was sharing this is how she feels she can educate the community about her role. This is not the most cooperative mouse. what do we hope for community health workers in El Paso? Well, we represent a voice that is strong and is wide. There's a lot of community health workers in our city, some who are perhaps volunteer by choice, but many who would consider themselves unemployed and many who are employed. There are many who are not working. They want to see community health workers more fully engaged in the system of our healthcare delivery. And I think with the advent of healthcare reform, there are some opportunities. They do want to see their jobs more firmly in the system. Again, not new voices, but important for us to listen to. They recognize they can have an economic impact in terms of their role as a part of the workforce of our city. And they think, there must be some important work done in our community. We have very strong community health worker network in a tri-state area, including Juarez, or Chihuahua State, New Mexico, and Texas. And then we have an old and strong community health worker network that's a bit smaller in El Paso that's been, resurging, and we're trying to build that maybe linkage between these two networks to see if maybe we can have a stronger voice from El Paso in terms of the Texas-wide discussions. So they're looking to form some stronger networks. Local partner organizations at AIM originally, I talked about are the Y and other agencies looking at integrating community health workers. Certainly that's beginning to take place. A key element of HEART's local policy aim is exploring how to build local CHW capacity to participate in local and state policy change. Fortunately, in Texas, though years ago we did establish credentialing, we're now at another phase where we're looking as a state at trying to introduce perhaps the proposal for a study committee at the state level to look at some other ways we can reinforce community health worker's presence in the state, because the credentialing alone did not do enough. Gail Hirsch referenced an article that we published together that looked at several arenas that need to be worked on simultaneously to, I think, have integration of community health workers fully successful, workforce development, also credentialing, also working at training and looking at metrics for evaluation and research. And so, you know, to have our state finally engaging again and saying maybe credentialing isn't enough, we need to do something more, we need now to not miss the boat and have community health workers really be in on the discussions of what comes next in terms of policy change in Texas. And so we are looking at making sure that the networks that we can partner with as the HEART Project have our support in terms of how they want to participate in that agenda. And we were able to meet recently in a meeting with the local workforce development agency, with the many allies, the local area health education center, actually the consulate in our border city has programs with community health work, the health department, other partners coming together at the table right now with the Workforce Development Commission saying, we want to know where you want to be in 5 years. You need to develop a strategic plan and vision of how you want to develop the community health worker field here in El Paso and at the state level. And we'll be a partner, but you need to get a strategic plan. And that is something that we have not yet taken on, but we're at the very front end with these partners, as I think you have said, all hands on deck, Gail. You know, looking at who are the hands that need to be on board in our community to develop our agenda to then participate in the state level agenda. And as I've already mentioned, at the state level, there's a renewed interest to work. We had an employer forum. Actually, we were lucky enough to have Massachusetts, through the person of Gail Hirsch, come and share the story of how Massachusetts has gone forward with this Texas employer forum, which included CHWs and employers. And the Texas Public Health Association at that meeting offered themselves as a venue through which an employer forum could be formed, or an allies forum. This always seems to be an issue in organizing with community health workers, is how do you bring those supporters into the conversation but not then flood out the voice of community health workers, so that the Texas Public Health Association network at this point is trying to develop simultaneously while there are some efforts to strengthen and grow a statewide, and you can imagine we're a very big state, I didn't bring a map, but kind of have the opposite problem of many places of being just so very big and spread out, rural and other factors. So to organize a statewide network, at this point there's a lot of web communications and conference calling going on, and we're hoping we can bring funding into the state again, or from the state, to have some state level network meetings. But right now the Promotora network that's evolving is looking for their El Paso voice. So I think for the HEART Project's work, that's where we're focusing, as to how to bring that to the table. And we're working, you know, from a research project perspective, but we do wear other hats, all of us, in our work life, and from my work within the section and other opportunities that I've had to work on projects, I feel also an opportunity to participate in that Texas discussion. But from the HEART Project's point of view, I think we're really wanting to build on the Promotora team that we have in our project and the local networks, and bring them together with our Community Health Leadership Council, which is a broader network, and bring ourselves into that policy discussion and head where Massachusetts has so boldly gone, and where it sounds like in other parts of the world the discussion is so similar. And it's what I wanted to share today. I've got my timekeeper down there. She's fierce.
Thank you so much, Lee, for explaining all the hard work that you're doing in El Paso. And I know that others here will get a lot of insight from the work you've done. I'd like to open it up now for any questions you have for our speakers. Go ahead.
As far as certification,
yes.
Process,
and getting the,
probably the more. You probably know better, like Ohio.
Who can speak to that from other states? There are other states that have certification that they've, well, like Lee was talking about, but just
getting involved with the healthcare reform and you guys have really gone a long way with your association and partnership and collaboration. So I'm just curious as to what other states, I know that there's other states in this association, but
thanks.
Make it talk further.
Right. I mean, I think in conversation with my colleagues from other states, we always kind of discover that, gee, you've gone farther in this area and we've gone farther in this area. Joan Cleary from Minnesota can speak to some of the sort of back there. She can, Minnesota and Massachusetts were highlighted in that health affairs article because they've done some other things. Texas clearly has done some other things. It's kind of hard to speak to that, and we feel very good about what we've done, sure, but I think, and also, where's Christina? There you are. Okay, so I've discovered a sister here. The only other offices that I know of state Office of Community Health Workers from New Mexico over there, so there are really wonderful things happening in other states, and that's the importance of like a meeting like this to do exactly what you're saying, raise the questions, who's done what needs to be done, and all of that. Does anybody want to add to that? And New York, okay, New York right there. And obviously New York is doing a tremendous effort to sort of spread their efforts from citywide to statewide and done a lot of really important work. And again, I keep hearing every day of things that I don't even know about, from other states. So it's really important to sort of pull the information together. Is anybody else?
I think in different ways, California has done things. There's ASHTO. I mean, there's all these state networks.
Mm-hmm.
But you get that depth of all the pieces in place. I think Massachusetts perhaps has done the most with the state CHW network and with, the state level involvement. That's, I think.
We also have the luxury of me, like the policy director, getting to advocate and doing community organizing. I think we had two staff mm-hmm. at one point is a luxury and huge capacity building
mm-hmm.
opportunity.
Mm. Anybody else have a question? Go ahead. Well, I think there's sometimes a confusion about the term patient navigator and what they do and what community health workers do. Patient navigation is a role that all community health workers play. And because of the funding from NCI and they named their community health workers patient navigators. But I think you have to look, you really can't separate out the two. Community health workers and patient navigators do much of the same work in terms of coordinating services and getting and connecting people to the correct places and appropriate places in the healthcare system. So I don't see that division. Yeah, I think that really is going to be a state function.
I can tell you in Massachusetts how it works, and you guys can probably correct me if I'm wrong, that the Women's Health Network and the Men's Health Partnership, it's a part of the State Department of Public Health. It's a category, I don't know what, but it's a body within the Department of Public Health, and they administer the funding for the patient navigator, both the trainings and the people themselves. And if you want to talk to Joanne Calista, and Dalton is one of the recipients, and Joanne is one of the the center that trains the patient navigators in our state. And they have me come and speak at the beginning of their trainings, talk about Machua and who community health workers are and how they are part of the community health worker workforce. But just to give you an example.
Okay.
Depends if they've heard of it. And I know some cases where there are other patient navigator programs or something that it's like fulfilled by a nurse or another hat.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I would advocate that the like what you said, the functions are very similar to community health workers, and community health workers probably do the best job at it.
And there is kind of a divide if you look at navigation programs. There are some investigators that feel that community health workers are perfectly appropriate to carry this work out, and then there are some other PIs that feel that, no, you need a specialized kind of person that knows the hospital system. So there's a division in the field, but I think enough people do feel that, and that community health workers can play the role of patient navigators. Let me try somebody over here.
My question is for you, Katie. When you talked about it, you spoke about trauma-informed labs. And I'm just wondering where the gender issue fits in the relationship between the LPS. Are most of the trauma-informed roles
So the promotores would be the collective. In our project, we have three women who are promotoras, and in the workforce, and you know, I'm trying to think of the data in the HRSA workforce study, but back even in 98 when our study, the National Community Health Advisor study came out, you know, I mean, the majority of the workforce has to date 80% or more been female. And I know there's tremendous innovative work that has been done by male community health workers. In our particular project, we don't have it. And in our workforce in El Paso, certainly there are men who are a part of the workforce, but I would say that that gender gap is still there. And when we look at family level and centered intervention, it's probably a good place for our project specifically maybe to look in the long run. It's certainly something we could be doing better.
Can I just ask a question? We had sign-up sheets on both sides. Does anybody know where they are? Oh, they're on the back table. Thank you. Other questions? Go ahead.
What was the last thing, Joan? Right. Well, so the Office of Community Health Workers, our report that's back there called for an ongoing state infrastructure, and so we decided, okay, we'll make an office. I mean, it was really it's not statute. It exists, and we were lucky in that at the same time that we were deciding to form an Office of Community Health Workers at my Department of Public Health, we also formed a healthcare workforce center. And that's where I sit. I sit with the Office of Oral Health, the Office of Rural Health, and the Primary Care Office. So it's a workforce issue. And that helps a lot. You asked so many good questions. Do you want to speak to the certification piece? At all? I forget what the other question
budget
was.
And like,
oh, budget. Well, okay. It's just me, and I've just been basically supported to do this work the entire time I've been there. Occasionally, there have been other little sort of, from the commissioner's office, little sort of identification of pots of money to sort of move the work forward. But that's part of like the challenge of making sure that this is a permanent office after, you know, Gail does whatever Gail does, and that there would be some funding for it. But there really isn't like identified, you know, funding for it.
Mm-hmm. And around the certification, right now my mind is around how we can gather input about, and I haven't put as much time recently in the past month or two, so I'm having a hard time thinking at the tip of my tongue of like what the different categories were around like accessing training, and I forget. But we have a policy fact sheet on when we did the regional meetings and gathered input about what, you know, what are the basic thoughts around certification. There is that fact sheet on our website, but I actually don't remember it right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're really trying to go through the legislation sort of bit by bit and see how to sort of make the plans to implement it when it becomes actual, sort of when it takes effect in January 2012, including identification of potential members of the Board of Certification, perhaps drafting regulations, working with a law intern or something like that. There are a number of components involved.
Kathy?
Go ahead.
Established what competencies they need and how to integrate this group of people into the workforce of the Ministry of Health, they did target these issues. I don't know the exact specifics, but I'm sure several questions were raised on who supervises it. Is it a doctor? Will it be a nurse? Will it be another community health worker? So there is still discussion on how to implement, but we are proceeding in that way. Since community work has been, it has a history in Palestine. What they do is very well known, maybe to the NGO community more, and within the community. But I do agree with you, maybe within the health system, we need to work or initiate more dialogue about how we can emphasize the role, because most of the time when we have a community health worker in a health center, they don't try to utilize her in the community. They utilize her as a supporter for a nurse, and in many clinics where doctors are lacking and the nurses cannot reach, we find the community health worker dispensing drugs, cleaning the clinic, and sometimes treating. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you, we do have to work in this sense. Maybe because the Ministry of Health has been taking a regulatory role, and one of the impressive issues that has happened when we started talking about licensing, community health work is not a licensed profession. And the medical professions are on the list to be regulated. The Minister of Health actually selected the community health worker law to be discussed the third. Out of 20 professions, the third was community health worker. So this is a positive trend that the Ministry of Health is trying to adapt the system and integrate it in a well manner to assure that they are not losing their community role within the system.
Okay, in the back.
Yes. It's great hearing you keep talking in the conversation about the work that, that we're all doing. My name is Fernando, and I'm from an organization with my sister Diana from Angeles de Salud here in Colorado. And I think the conflict that we keep having is as we learn it more about the larger conversation, and the little we get to travel around the conversations and the conflict between Promotores de Salud, CHW, patient navigators, and sometimes we do not in the community. As we said, people don't care about the job title. It's more about the job description. Mm-hmm. We call ultimately whatever the job title calls for. And I do see the need that our biggest problem is we have a lot of work. We really are. The people who know our work, they come to us and say, hey, can you do this? Because we know that, yes, we can do it. With the training of these, we can do CHP plus enrollment and Medicaid. We can do trials recruitment, we can do church involvement, things like that. I think while we agree in the conversation of you cannot certify passion, we do know that you can certify the skills. And it's really important that we have to figure it out. Because my biggest challenge sometimes is like, we're busy, but we are sometimes tapped or tagged at the end of the grant. or when they figured out they don't know how to get access to this community, now we're getting tapped into the $5,000. Can do you have a person who speaks Spanish who can pass papers at a church? That's not what we do. We're from a coexistence and we are conflict with the promotoras, and as I say, I was a doula before, but now it's in Spanish. I'm a promotor, or a promotora. So I think what is needed, and I don't know, I know we're moving towards there, but I'm calling for some basic understanding of how we train our partners, even our funders. We don't get from the respect to the authority that we're tapped as an expert on community-based outreach, but when we start making our dollar voice of how we should go, we suddenly are challenged by what certifications you have, what are your titles, have you published, where are you getting your evidence? I ask my mom. So I think it's very important that while we keep our distinction, yes, we're all competing here. Universities and academics and everything are looking around. We've been struggling for 7 months to create a network of promotors in Colorado. We're not that many. Some people are resistant to come. So we'd love to continue to know where do we find that all that information. With our little capacity, we have to create our very own literature review of 98.7 articles that we didn't have time to do, but we need it in order to be able to come back to the partner and say, I think we know what we're doing. Now can we talk business? So I think going back again, like it is a unique thing. I'm fascinated to hear that the challenges in another side of the water are the same that we have right here. But I keep calling for how do we get not only that conversation, but let's put levels. Let's figure something out that the work is not going to end. And we do know that at the turn to our work, it's high profile. The minute that I stand up and people recognize me more and I look for agency driven, then I start losing contact with my community. Even with my own partners, suddenly they don't listen to me because they're saying, well, that's what you think, but what the community think? And I'm like, when did I stop being the community? So I know there's not a question there, but I hope congratulations on the work you're doing. And if there's any places you guys, anybody can help us to continue to identify the core competencies, the core elements, and how do we get TAB as a grassroots organization, we'd love to continue to learn more. Thank you.
Okay, great. Any other questions?
Thank you so much for your comments, and we need to stop now. We could talk all day. If you have any further questions for the presenters, they'll be happy to answer them.